Let's recap last week. If you were not with us last week, we talked about Jesus and the A-list party. Jesus got invited to the A-list. He was invited to a celebration that would have been a group of the A-listers. Did you ever not get invited to a party because you weren't an A-lister? I did. Now, there was a day when I just crashed the party and be that kind of guy, you know. But anyway, but Jesus gets invited to this party, and they bring a man in who was sick with a disease that could have been terminal, a terminal disease. And the challenge is Jesus asked them, is it unlawful for me to heal this man on the Sabbath? And those that were appointed to be leaders, those who were appointed to be representatives of God, to these people stood silent. And one of the things I want to reiterate to you is that God has never called you to be his politician. There's a difference between a representative and a politician. A representative reflects the attitude, the actions, and the desires of those he serves. A politician negotiates the best price and the best deal and tries to teach you that it's what you really need. God does not need his church to be his politician. God's not interested in cutting a deal with the world. God needs us to be his representative. Go and speak truth in love and in grace and be the greatest depiction of my son that you can be. And so this man is healed, and there's a question about whether we as believers should exalt ourselves into positions of authority and of importance, or we should humble ourselves. Wednesday night we had a great discussion. We always continue to dig on Sunday morning. Wednesday night we asked this question: can a Christian what was the word? Ronnie, you were there.
Huh?
Can we be ambitious? There it is, there it is. No one help me out. Just let me stand here and wiggle in the wind. Can a Christian be ambitious? It seems counterintuitive. Well, the answer is yes, you can, and I don't have time to teach that message. So we're still at this event, okay? This second teaching happens in the same position, the same event, and so let's pick up there. If you'd like to read along, we're in Luke 14, verses 14 through 24, and all of today's notes are with you, available to you on the YouVersion Bible app as usual. When one of those at the meal with Jesus heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will feast in the kingdom of God." Now, the primary application of this teaching is God's invitation to the Hebrews. If you remember, God once told the children of Israel, "I want to have a covenant with you. You will be my covenant people, and I will be your God." God had put a special relationship with the nation of Israel, not to elevate them better than you and I, but they might be an example of what a healthy, sustained relationship with God would look like. They were supposed to be the example of what everyone would desire to have. And so the primary illustration, the primary application is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but it's not the sole application, okay? We see an unclear proclamation. Now this person stands up and says, "Well, blessed is everyone who gets to eat at this meal." Well, what does that mean? What is his intentions? What is his point behind this? You see, first of all, he could have been simply saying amen to the blessedness of those who practice hospitality destitute of self-exaltation. He could have been saying amen, Pastor, amen, Jesus, that people would live without, you know, being puffed up and being worried about being A-listers and only being worried about inviting those people who can repay. Hey, Jesus, I support you. Now, we don't say amen a lot in this church, but let me tell you what amen is when someone does it. You're just simply saying that's true or I agree. And so this guy could have said, "Jesus, I agree. Amen." Amen?
Amen?
Oh, man, look at you guys. All right, on a holiday weekend. Or they were expressing their faulty logic, believing this would be a privileged relationship, a privileged meal, for only a select few to obtain. Now, the writer doesn't tell us which of these it is, but it's one of those two. And my question to you is this, which would you fall on? Is this something for just the good guys, the special people? Or is it that we should all live to be humble and meek? Verse 16. But Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many guests. Now, there's another event in the Bible in the book of Matthew. Now, you don't want to confuse these two. They look a lot alike, but they're not the same event. The event in Matthew is speaking about a royal marriage feast, okay? And you know the difference because Matthew's account occurs early in Jesus' ministry, and this teaching occurs at the back end of Jesus' ministry. As you remember, Jesus is working his way to Calvary, to the cross, where he'll give his life in atonement for your sins and my sins. And that teaching took place on the Temple Mount. And this place is not taking place, this teaching is not taking there. And it was a royal marriage feast. It was a special occasion. The great banquet we're going to look at today is not for a wedding. It's not for a wake. It's not for a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. It's simply this, a celebration of life. Can I ask you a question? How often do we just celebrate being alive? Not very often. Okay, all right. We have to have a reason, don't we? We celebrate not going to work. And one of our deacons works on the weekends. He's off tomorrow. Guess what? He's off anyway. But did he get today off? No, he doesn't really get a holiday. He's getting robbed, right? This event that Jesus is speaking of is a celebration of life. We need to celebrate just the fact that we're alive and we're together and we have food to eat. That's reason, isn't it? It's good. We need to celebrate that the Cowboys won't lose today. We need to celebrate life. And you know what? I'm just as guilty as the next guy. We got to have a reason, a birthday, and it's, hey, let's just party. We're alive. Think of the 1,000 things you don't want to be doing right this morning and celebrate that. So don't confuse those two events. Verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent out a slave to tell those who had been invited, come because everything is ready. Now, we see an occasion with an invitation. The custom of the day would have been to make two calls to those that were invited to the occasion. The first one would be like a save the date. Now, we got to save the date for some things. Save the dates are good because I don't know about you, but I calendar like a year in advance. I have things already in next year. And so it would be a save the date, and the save the date would come with an RSVP required. Can I just get on a soapbox for a second? Let me just... If it has an RSVP... would you just do it already? And I'm going to go one step further because it's a holiday. If it has an RSVP and you don't show up. Amen. That's rude. Again, amen? I got a sister right over here trying to plan a wedding. You see, the RSVP is this. I plan to attend. It's on my calendar. It's the purpose. I will purpose to be there. No, God willing. Now, God, you know, life happens, right? I mean, those things happen. And I promise. An RSVP is a promise. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. So this individual sends out the invitation, I'm going to have a banquet, and I want you to be a part of it. It simply won't be the same without you. Don't bring anything. Just bring yourselves. And oh, by the way, like in Texas, be sure and come hungry. Now, the second invitation was the y'all come. I just picture in my mind someone standing out there ringing that triangle. Ding, 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 right? Now, the one thing that the guests did not know, they knew the day, but they didn't know the exact hour. If you don't know this, preparing a large meal is a little bit of a challenge. And especially back then when you're doing over coals. But they knew it was a banquet. They knew it was going to be a dinner. So this is a dinner time meal. So they don't know what time of the day. It's going to be a dinner, so it's evening time. But they do know the day. That's very important. Because when the second invitation comes, we see what people respond. Verse 18. But one after another, they all began to make excuses. Can I say this? Excuses are like armpits, and everybody's got one, and they all stink. I was helping my dad put up blinds in a house yesterday. My dad's taller than me, and the window's taller than I was able to reach standing. So my dad goes, well, I'll hold it in place while you drill it. And that was all good until, and he had been working. You get what I'm throwing down? All right. I'm just trying to paint you a picture. The first one said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out to see it. Please excuse me. The invitation went out. The individual RSVP'd, I'll be there. It's on my calendar. It's of high value to me, and I promise, unless divinely hindered, I'll be there. But when it comes time to y'all come, he gives an excuse. And his excuse is, I bought a piece of property. You see, first of all, we see the investment over the invitation. Can I ask you a question? Who buys a piece of property sight unseen? Who would do that? No one would do that. Unless you lived halfway around the world and you couldn't get there. This person who had made this vow says, please excuse me because I've bought a piece of property that I need to go see. And here's my second question. How are they going to see it in the dark? Best I know, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have Q-beam. Well, those will cook your eyeballs, won't they? I got one. Honey, remind me to go get that. I got one offered to me. Those are great just to drive around with. Jeff, you ever have a Q-beam? Brother. Bobby, you have one? What? Who in here has ever had a Q-beam?
I've got three
or four. Right on, brother. If you don't know, we'll tell you. You can go. Oh, anyway, I digress. He couldn't have seen it in the dark. And third, the deal was done. Whether he sees it today or he sees it tomorrow, is it going to have any ramifications on the deal? But you see, he put his investment over the invitation. So now we see the second. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, that means 10 pieces of cattle, and I'm going out to examine them. Please excuse me. Now we see the second person, they put occupation over the invitation. Can I ask you this? Who's buying work equipment sight unseen? Much less if it's 10 oxen and everything that goes with it. Would you buy a horse sight unseen? Would you even accept a good puppy dog sight unseen? The inference that this excuse is I'm going to go out and work them. Who's going to go out and plow at night? Again, no Q-beams around. And again, the deal had already been made. Whether you got 9 good cattle and 1 lame one, it doesn't matter. The deal is done. You see, this person placed their occupation above the invitation. This person had the RSVP, they saved the date, they made it a priority, and they made a promise, I'll be there unless divinely hindered. Now we see the third. And another one said, I just got married and I cannot come. Now, unless you're of the eloping kind, this doesn't fit. Here we see domestication over the invitation. The new groom would have known his wedding plans at the time he accepted the invitation. A Hebrew wedding usually took about a year. So when this young man received the invitation and RSVP'd, he would have known when he was getting married. Is there anyone here that, can I ask you this? If your groom-to-be forgets his marriage date, is that going to be a problem for you? It's in your phone. So when this young man made this promise with this master who was preparing this feast, He knew what day he was getting married. The new bride would have been welcomed. It wasn't like the guy sent the RSVP and says, "Hey, Joe, you're invited, but Susan, not so much." Because I'm telling you, if you look at me and you say, "You're welcome, but your bride's not," I ain't got time for you. Amen? Thirdly, this may have been a great date night. Date your mate. Listen, I know sometimes going to a wedding is a little bit of a beating. You got to get all dressed up and all that kind of thing. A little bit. But who doesn't like being at a good wedding? You get all warm and fuzzy inside. And you start thinking back. I love weddings. And I start thinking, and I reach over and take my bride's hand out. "Baby, I'd marry you all over again." Because I would. It'd be a great date night. And the meal, you know, the meal's going to be great. Jesus' first public ministry was changing water into wine. It's going to be a great party. Don't misconstrue what I just said. I can hear you. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear. And lastly, and maybe worst of all, he tossed his bride under the bus. Gentlemen, don't make your bride the excuse. Because can you see it? They're down at the local Aldi store. And the guy says, "Oh, hey, Susan, I missed you at the party." "What party?" "Well, your groom got an invitation and he RSVP'd and he declined." "Well, declined why?" "Well, he said because of you." "That's not going to go well." You see, the challenge that we have here, sometimes the blessings of life can be the greatest obstacles to overcome to see God's blessings. All three of these individuals were blessed, but it was the very blessings that they had the hardest time getting over. Remember, the immediate application is God to the children of Israel. Can I just ask you this? Do the blessings of life ever stand in the way of you being obedient to God's invitation? Sometimes. Sometimes, right? Verse 21. So the slave came back, reported to his master. Then the master of the household was furious. Now, can I ask you this, bride-to-be? If you have 200 people RSVP to your event, huh? We're at 2 1/4, and we're two of them. Oh, I just want to make sure because I'm going to be an absolute hypocrite. I get a serious, "Yeah, preacher, how about you?" So you have 224, so you're preparing for 224. Yeah. What if 75 show up? You know why? Because she's preparing for 224. Do you see what happens when the master prepares and the people procrastinate? Can I ask, would you be just a little unhappy?
A little bit.
A little bit. Facebook getting cleaned out, baby. He was furious, and he said to his slave, "Go out quickly to the streets, the alleys of the city, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Translation, go get those people who don't get the invites. Go get those people who would be thankful to have what these people so easily dismiss. Oh, all right. I'll invite the people who would be glad to be here. Wouldn't you rather have someone who wants to be in your company than someone that's forced to be in your company? Absolutely you would. There's nothing worse than spending all day with someone you have to. It's like when I speak at the Victims Impact Panel. I tell them all the time, the most difficult group to speak to are those that are there by force. And this group is there by force. The judge says you got to go. The only person who's there voluntarily is me. The probation officers work. That's their job. They're getting paid. Everyone else in the room's been told by people to be there. I'm the only guy in the volunteer position. But he says, go out and collect these people. Go down to the corner and find the beggar. Go down to the field and find the orphan. Go down to the corner and find those without and tell them to come. You come. Just come. Y'all come on. Oh, and they'd be so happy. I was over in Oak Lawn the other day, making my way through Oak Lawn. That sounds kind of weird. Anyway, and the old Warsaw's there. It's a steak place, right? Highfalutin. I've never been there. I've heard it's awesome. But I can promise you, if there was a sign outside the old Warsaw that says free steaks today, baby, I'm in. Whatever I'd have been doing, I wouldn't have been doing it. Honey, I'll be home later. Free steak. So he says, go and get those. And with that in mind, can I ask you this question? Who are you inviting to the banquet of God's Word? 2 weeks from today is National Back to Church Sunday. And out there in the highways and the byways and the places, there are people who are starving to death for the banquet of God's love, mercy, grace, and Word. Would you invite them to come? Would you be the one to go out and say, hey, just come with me. Check it out. See if it adds to your life. If you haven't received a little handout invitation, I'm just giving you one today. You know why? Because if we each invite one and half of them show up, we'll half double our crowd. Dyslexia. Well, we will half double, right? Yeah. No, it's right. It just sounds really wrong, right? Listen. If it weren't for Les Fields inviting me to church on that Sunday, be the one that makes that invite. What do you say? My message that day is going to be the anchor holds, if you need to know. Verse 22, then the slave said, sir, what instruction, your instructions have been done and there's still room. Boss, I went out and I gathered everyone I could find nearby and there's still room. What do we do? So the master said to his slave, go out to the highway and the country roads and urge the people to come in so that my house might be full. He says, listen, I prepared for a full house and you go bring me a full house. And what this means is this guy is sent out beyond that place that's just around the house, just those people that you may see regularly. You get sent out beyond those. These are the people who won't, maybe, quote, won't, aren't worthy to be in town. And this could have been Gentiles. Remember, this first application's to the Jews. Go get me some Gentiles, because they'll be happy to be here. Go get me those people out there who would love to be here. Go get them and bring them into town. Look what Isaiah says. The Lord who commands armies will hold a banquet for all nations on his mountain. Who is God inviting? Everybody. Everybody. Who's invited to be here 2 weeks from today? Everybody. Oh, man, wouldn't it be great if we had to have three services and you only had to sit through one? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if one Sunday every church in town had to have multiple services because they were just too full? It'd be great. One of these days, God will hold a banquet and it's open to everyone. And this is my promise to you, God's house never lacks for space. How much room is there for? At least one more. And he goes on. We see the unlimited invitation. This would have been a social suicide for this gentleman. You remember what they said about Jesus? Jesus, he eats in the company of sinners. Do you know you eat in the company of sinners? Every day and every meal. Figure that one out. His reputation would have been ruined, and those who had shirked their invitation would have taken offense. This is how small humanity can be. How dare he have those type of people in his house at my banquet? Well, now, wait a minute. You had property to go see. Now, wait a minute. You had livestock to go see. Now, wait a minute. You threw your bride under the bus. It's not your banquet. You forfeited it to those who want it. How proud and arrogant these people must be that they hold claim to something that they so frivolously cast aside. It's what the human heart will do, though. I don't want it, but you can't have it. For I tell you, not one of those individuals who are invited will taste my banquet. I'm telling you, this I could see it. Not one of them. Don't show up late. Don't walk in here and say, well, I got done with the property and decided to come on over. Don't ever say this. Well, the old lady let me come. Gentlemen, don't you ever call your bride old lady in front of me. We might throw hands. You might catch these hands, right? I wanted to say that so long. Anyway, Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he makes himself available. Call to him while he's nearby. Well, now, wait a minute. I'll get to God when I get to God. No, it don't work that way. Listen. Hey. I'll do my thing, and then somewhere down the line, God and I will do our thing. No, don't work that way. Bible says, seek him while he is available, because that, you know what that means? There will come a day when he's not. Now, we don't like to hear that. We don't even like to say that. As Christians, we don't even like to say that. As a pastor, I don't even like to say that. Which is what the Bible says. And it goes on. All right, hit that point. Let's look at Proverbs 1:24-33. Let's read this together, shall we? However, because I called you, but you refused to listen, because I stretched out my hand, but no one paid attention, because you neglected all of my advice and did not comply with my rebuke, so I myself will laugh when your disaster strikes you. I will mock you when your dread comes. When what you dread comes like a whirlwind and disaster strikes you like a devastating storm, when distressing trouble comes on you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. For they will diligently seek me, but they will not find me, because they hated moral knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They did not comply with my advice. They spurned all of my rebuke. Therefore, they will eat from the fruit of their own way, and they will be stuffed full of their own counsel. For the waywardness of the simpletons will kill them, and the careless ease of fools will destroy them. But the one who listens to me will live in security and will be at ease from the dread of harm. Now, can I ask you this? Do you want to be a last verse person or all the other verses person? You see, we don't get to pick and choose. The Bible says, for today is the day of salvation. Bible says, for today is the day the Lord has made. This is all we've got, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday's a memory, and for me, it was a good one. And tomorrow's a hope, and it's a good one too. But this is all I've got, and this is all you've got, and this is all they've got. And God says, listen, today's the day. You can hope for tomorrow, and you can remember yesterday, but today is all you got. We don't know if we'll see the end of this day. We don't know if we'll see the beginning of tomorrow. The Bible says, be ready. God says, be ready. The invitation is still open. Thank God. Thank God the invitation is still open. The doors are still open. The banquet's prepared. Come on. Come on. Well, who's the invitation to? Well, for the Hebrews to accept their Messiah. For the nation of Israel to see Jesus for who he really is. For the church, that's you and me, that's not this building, to grow in its intimacy with God. Can we just ask ourselves the questions? Do we ever readily excuse God's invitation to intimacy for other things? Are we quick to dismiss morning worship and celebration for other things? Are we quick to dismiss time with the Lord in prayer and meditation? Are we quick to dismiss the ministry of giving, of time, talents, and treasures? Are we? Can I say I have? Sadly, on more than one occasion in my life, I've walked away and I said, God, I missed it. I missed it. But the invitation is still open. The doors of this building are still open. The AC's working today. Thank you, Jesus. The invitation's open. And lastly, the invitation for the lost to be saved is open. For every man, woman, boy, and girl who've never met Jesus on his terms, not trying to negotiate a deal like a politician. Listen, it's God's way or it's no way. That's what God says. But there's still time for your friend, your neighbor, your family member, your coworker, maybe that stranger at Starbucks. There's this one gal at Starbucks. I'm really, really, really going to try and invite her. I have to make sure. I don't know what time she works. We met at a wedding. And it was so funny because I was like, oh, you know how you see people out of context? It's like when little kids see me not here. Like maybe out to eat or something. They look and they say, who let you off the reservation? I saw her at this wedding, and I was like, oh, hey. And I walked up, you know, being kind of full of myself. I'm thinking, hey, how you doing? And I'm thinking she's going to, hey, how you doing? She looks at me, hey. I was a little hurt. Next time I went into Starbucks, she was there. She goes, hey. I said, yeah. So she's on my mind. I want to extend a personal invitation to her to come. And I'm really going to work to make that happen. I don't know her spiritual condition, but now she knows me. She knows me by name, and that means a lot. And so I'm going to invite her. I'd love, hey, listen, if you're not working, I'd love to have you come. You know. But how will they hear unless there's a preacher? How will they hear? Ladies and gentlemen, this may be the only place those people in your lives may ever hear the gospel. This may be the only place where the Bible's ever opened up to them. And you know me well enough that I am not going to embarrass you, and I am certainly not going to pound them like a nail. The invitation's open. So the question I want us to answer as we close is this, is what's God's invitation to us today? You're not a Hebrew, so that one's out for you. But if you're here today and you're a believer like me, could God be calling us to a deeper intimacy with him? Is that the invitation? Or maybe the invitation is for us to repent of something in our lives that we know that God doesn't really want there. And God's saying, listen, I want you to repent of that. I want you to cut that out. I want you to be more intimate with me. Or maybe God's invitation to you is to be more proactive, maybe to serve and to give. And thirdly, if you're here today and you've never met Jesus on his terms, if no one's ever explained to you how you can know what the Bible says about God, Jesus, and salvation and the promise of heaven, I would be honored to do that today. I really would. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today could be your day. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm just asking you right now, whisper in your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, what's your invitation to me today? And I feel highly confident all of us, or most of us, that answer's come up. It's almost like God texted it to you. God, what's your invitation to me today? Boom, there it is. My friend, if that was your prayer and God has given you that answer, then my counsel to you is do that. Do that. Whatever that is, do that. And do it quickly. Don't belabor the point. Just do it. Now, I want to talk to just one person or persons real quick. If you're here today, and it would be you, and you'd say, Jimmy, I think God's invitation to me is to know his son better. I think God's invitation to me is to be saved. And I don't really understand all what that means, but I really, really would like to talk about it. I would like all the information I can have so I can make the most informed and educated decision I can. Now, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. It's going to take a little bit of courage, but I want you to trust me, okay? If that's you, and you'd say, Jimmy, that's me today. I think God's invitation for me to know him better in this particular area, and I really would like to talk to you about it. Not right this second, not right here in front of everyone, but I want to talk to you about it. This is what I'm going to ask you to do, okay? I'm just going to ask you to raise your head, open your eyes, and look at me. And by doing that, you're saying, Jimmy, I'd like to visit with you and talk a little bit more about Jesus. Is there anyone to my right? Is there anyone to my left? Okay. Let me also say this. The invitation of God never closes. Father, I thank you for today. And Father, I thank you for the one day, eternal Labor Day. Lord, where we'll not wrestle against flesh and blood. We'll not wrestle against our sin nature any longer. Lord, we'll be set free. We'll be as you intended us to be. Father, today I pray for each and every one who are here with me today. And I pray for each and every one that is with us by the way of the webcast. And Father, I pray for each and every one that will hear this through our podcast. Lord, I pray that they will know that God's invitation is open to them today. And Lord, if they'll just whisper a prayer, you say in your word, Father, that any person lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. Father, if they'll ask, I believe by faith you'll answer them. And Father, I pray that they will take your answer and they will do what you've called them to do. I pray, Lord, that they would do that for your glory. Father, I pray that they would do that for their own good and enjoyment. And Father, I pray that we would do that for the sake of a lost and dying world, that others might see Jesus in us. For it's in his name that we pray. It's for his glory we serve. Amen.